If you take your Bibles, please, this morning, and turn to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 5 is where we'll be this morning. And while you're turning to Daniel 5, let's go ahead and pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for another opportunity to delve into the riches of your word. We pray that you, through your Spirit, will speak to our hearts today as we look at what took place in Daniel 5, and then we contrast it with things that are taking place in our own nation. We pray, Father, that you would help us to be enlightened and see what our responsibility really is. And so speak to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Memorial Day is a time each year when we pause to remember those who laid down their lives for family, friends, and freedom. You know, 1 week after the Pearl Harbor attack, President Franklin D. Roosevelt said this: "Those who long enjoy such privileges that we enjoy forget in time that others have died to win them." And he was right. Sometimes we forget that freedom is never really free. It almost always is bought with the blood of patriots. And the biggest battle that we as Americans face today is not a battle on a foreign field. It is the battle for the very soul of our nation. We see it all around us every day. The erosion of our society has been a slow process, but we've seen it accelerate rapidly in just the last few years. And to be honest, it really doesn't matter whether there's a Democrat or a Republican sitting in the Oval Office. This nation that we've all come to know and love continues to erode. And the position we're in today is because of what we tolerated yesterday. And the position we'll be in tomorrow will be because of what we tolerate today. You know, history has a way of repeating itself down through the centuries. And in Daniel's day, he saw a lot of what we're seeing today. But his situation was much worse. The fifth chapter of Daniel describes the collapse of a culture. They became very comfortable and secure within the confines of their strong walls, but they crumbled from within. And the way I see it, Babylon made four huge mistakes. They lost all sense of remembrance. They lost all sense of reality. They lost all sense of restraint. And they lost all sense of reverence. And on this Memorial Day, my prayer is that we would be challenged to be a people of repentance, and that we would acknowledge that anything we do is vanity without the presence and help of Almighty God. And so let's talk this morning about the four mistakes of Babylon. Number one is this: it is the danger of losing all sense of remembrance. If you got your Bible open here to Daniel 5, we'll go down to verse 18. We'll start there. 18 to 23. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. For the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive. And whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts. And his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not nor hear not. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, thou hast not glorified. You see, Belshazzar's problem was the same that many people have today. He had forgotten some of the valuable lessons from the past. Lessons like his predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar, had learned the hard way. Lessons like, as it says back in chapter 4, verse 37, those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. In most cases, pride always comes before destruction. And Daniel gives us an important insight when he challenges the king with the accusations of verse 22 and 23, and thou his son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thine heart, thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. That's what Belshazzar was doing. Boasting about himself. He picked up right where Nebuchadnezzar left off, saying in chapter 4, verse 30, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a house of my kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? You see, pride always leads to a fall. It's right up there at the top of the list of those things which God despises. And if you don't want to take my word for it, just ask Satan, because he fell through pride. Adam and Eve, they fell through pride. King David fell through pride. Simon Peter fell through pride. Yes, those who walk in pride, he is able to abase. And America is headed for a prideful fall. America used to honor God unashamedly and openly. It's etched in numerous monuments all over our nation's capital. It's carved in granite many of the government buildings that we hold dear. It's printed on our currency. There was a time when we credited him with our blessings and our successes, and we looked to him during our times of trial and our losses. But today, like Babylon, we seem to have lost a sense of remembrance. President Woodrow Wilson said it best. He said, a nation that does not remember what it was yesterday and does not know what it is today or what it is trying to do, that is, if we do not know where we came from or what we have been about, we are a futile thing. And in many ways, we've forgotten our past. I mean, what was it about America that made us so great and caused men and women from nations all around the world to risk their lives and fortunes to come here? Is there something about America that distinguishes us from our neighbors to the north and south? And the answer is yes, there is a difference. Canada was settled by French explorers who were looking for gold. Mexico was settled by Spanish explorers who were also looking for gold. But America was settled by men and women who came here primarily looking for God. They came searching for a home where God could be exalted and worshiped in spirit and freedom and truth. And we have fallen a long way from where we once were. We've gotten so far off our founder's path that it's not uncommon, anymore, to hear of federal courts repeatedly doing things like, you know, restricting manger scenes from city squares and removing Ten Commandment displays from government buildings. And of course, they have taken prayer completely out of schools. And they're trying to take it out of every public ceremony. And in public ceremonies where it is allowed, don't you dare mention the name of Jesus when you pray. And unfortunately, there are some sobering similarities between ancient Babylon and modern-day America. And just like Babylon, there's an expensive price to pay when a nation loses all sense of a remembrance of what they are and where they have come from. There is a danger in losing our sense of remembrance. Now, the second thing is this. It's the danger of losing all sense of reality. Go back to verse 1 of chapter 5 and notice what we read there. It says, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to a thousand of his lords and drank wine before the thousand. Now, in order to understand how the king had lost all sense of reality around him, we need to remember that outside the city walls of Babylon, the Medes and Persians surrounded the city. But inside, Belshazzar was partying. The Babylonians thought that because of their history of dominance and their strong walls, that they were invincible and indestructible. But everywhere you looked outside those walls, you could see the enemy surrounding the city. But no problem, they thought. After all, the walls are high and thick. They're impossible to penetrate. And we have a 20-year supply of rations on the inside. So eat, drink, and be merry. Belshazzar lost all sense of reality. He threw a big party, invited thousands of guests when destruction was at his door. You see, when we begin to feel secure in our own strength, danger is just on the other side of the wall. Many people today think that because they got away with something before, they'll get away with it again. This king was too blind and drunk on his own success to realize that the strength of a kingdom, or an individual for that matter, is never on the outside, but on the inside. Babylon soon fell because they had become corrupt on the inside with no sense of remembrance or reality. Some people today foolishly think that somehow God needs America in order to carry out his plan on earth. After all, we've won all the world wars. The Cold War is over. We seem to be the only real superpower still standing in the world today. But I believe God is saying to us what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:12, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. 245 years ago, God gave birth to our nation. We were a nation under God. Our motto has been, in God we trust. And God gave America a law built and based on Israel's ancient commandments. But our nation has forsaken that law. And now immorality and violence and hatred and murder, even the murder of millions of innocent little unborn babies, all that wickedness runs rampant in our nation. And if there is no repentance, I'm afraid judgment is on the way. Because we are not invincible. And I think that now more than ever before is the time for us to remember who we are and where we've come from. I think it's time for us to look at the reality of what's going on around us and beg God to forgive us and ask God to once again bless America. Because I think we have fallen prey to the danger of losing all sense of reality. Now, here's number three. It's the danger of losing all sense of restraint. Look at verse 2. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. When a nation or an individual loses all sense of remembrance and reality, they also lose all sense of restraint. The Babylonians were too blind to see any connection between moral decay and national decline. Sound familiar? This verse describes what the Old Testament politely calls concubines. Those were women who were kept for the king's pleasure, for the purpose of physical gratification and additional procreation. And our nation, like Babylon, has been virtually given over to sexual permissiveness and perversions of all types. I don't have enough time here this morning to describe all the various forms of sexual perversion that bombard our society through movies and television and media and the internet. Men have stopped leading their families in spiritual and moral development. They've neglected their wives and children in pursuit of material wealth and power. They've become so busy with their jobs that they ignore their wives and become involved with other women outside the home. And as a result, their wives begin to seek their own worth and value outside of the marriage relationship. And because male and female role models are no longer prominent at the home, children are developing identity problems of their own. Many of them are neglected, and for the most part, undisciplined. And I don't believe I have to really go any further with application of this point. Much like the Babylonians, we have lost our sense of restraint. And to that I warn, danger, danger, danger. And then number four, it's the danger of losing all sense of reverence. Look at verses 3 and 4. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. And here we see the crumbling culture of Babylon. Nothing was sacred to them anymore. They had no fear of God. They had abandoned all absolutes. There were no more restraints. There is no respect for anything that's sacred. It was party time in Babylon. And then an amazing thing happens. Look at verse 5. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And when the king saw that, he immediately sobered up. Let's continue reading. Verse 6. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. But what happens is he gets no answer. None of these supposed wise men have any answer for him about the hand he saw writing on the wall. But then, into the party hall comes the prophet Daniel. Look at verse 13. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? Now Daniel was not at this party. I wonder why. I know why. It's because most people don't want the man of God around when the liquor is flowing and the men and women are acting filthy. But when the writing on the wall shows up, when the crisis comes, they no longer want their immoral friends or their drinking buddies. They're looking for someone who can tell them what this means. And as Daniel looked around, the shouting, the drinking, and the sex games came to a stop. And a strange silence filled the banquet hall. People looked as if they were frozen in time. The sacred vessels were scattered around the tables. And Daniel was the only one in the room who was calm. And then he did what every preacher should do. He took God's word, and without fear, he revealed to them what God said. And I want you to listen to Daniel as he stands before them. Because before he interpreted the handwriting on the wall, he preached a sermon to them with 3 points. First, there was a word about power. Look at verses 18 and 19. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before them, for him, whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. Daniel reminded Belshazzar that Nebuchadnezzar's power came from God. And then second, there's a word about pride. Verse 20, but when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from the kingly throne and they took his glory from him. Daniel reminded King Belshazzar that King Nebuchadnezzar lost his kingdom because of pride. And then there was a word about punishment in verse 21. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. King Nebuchadnezzar was punished until he came to the realization that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men. And he gives those kingdoms to whomsoever he chooses. And then right after that, Daniel makes practical, personal application to Belshazzar in verse 22. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. He said, King Belshazzar, you knew about the power. You knew about the pride. You knew about the punishment. But sadly, you've lost all sense of remembrance. You've lost all sense of reality. You've lost all sense of restraint. You've lost all sense of reverence. And when we In America, forget these things. We become blind to the fact that, like Babylon, our problems are not primarily political or economic or social. The decline of any nation stems from spiritual factors. It stems from a rejection of God and a rejection of God's ways and a rejection of God's word. Everything else is just symptoms of the disease. Now, back to the banquet hall. The hall is silent, and Daniel now reveals the handwriting on the wall. Verses 25 through 28. And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. And Perez, which is simply the singular form of Upharsin, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. And you know, these words reveal the three elements involved in the sinner's destruction. Numbered, weighed, and divided or separated. In other words, your days are numbered, judgment is coming, and you will be separated from God for eternity. And now the ballroom is a scene of fright and terror. But there's one man who stood peacefully. He wasn't scared. He wasn't concerned about his destiny, because he knew the one who had written on the wall. And the fifth chapter of Daniel concludes with these words, verse 30 and 31. In that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. That very night, while Babylon had partied with no sense of restraint or remembrance, the end came. See, what happened, according to historical documents, is the armies of the Medes and Persians diverted the Euphrates River. Euphrates River went right through the city of Babylon. The wall, it went underneath the walls on either side. So they had a constant flow of water. But the Medes and the Persians diverted the Euphrates River, blocked it up. And then they marched into the city underneath the wall in the area where the river would have flowed through. And that's how they took the city. It's a reminder that God's judgment is certain. There's not a wall high enough or thick enough to prevent a person or a nation from falling when God writes Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin on the wall. Now, none of us knows when our number might be called. None of us knows how close we might be to facing God's judgment. But one thing we can know for sure is which side we'll be on when he separates the sheep and the goats. And the line of separation is this: what have you done with Jesus Christ? Have you rejected him, or have you received him? That is the separating line between heaven and hell. Very few nations have had a history like America. For 245 years, we've been a shining light to the world around us. We have been a launch pad to take the gospel of Christ literally to the very ends of the earth. And we often hear people say, God is our only hope. But I wonder at this point if God might be our biggest threat. I mean, what is it about America that offers us exemption from the judgment that fell on Babylon when our country is going in the same direction? I mean, my Bible still says in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. There is a final night for every nation. And there is a final night for every individual. In light of eternity, what is the kingdom of Babylon or any other nation compared to the kingdom that is forfeited by men and women without Christ? Our days are indeed numbered. We need to have a sense of urgency in the exchanging of our own righteousness for the righteousness of Christ through the new birth that is only offered through salvation. The new birth that takes place when you believe that Jesus shed his blood and died on an old rugged cross for your sins, taking your penalty upon himself so that you could be forgiven. It takes place when you believe that that same Jesus rose from the dead 3 days later so you could have eternal life. It takes place when you turn from your sin and you call out to Christ, receiving him into your heart and life to be the only Savior of your soul. That's how you're born again. And it is the only way to one day enter the kingdom of God. Jesus was very clear about that. In John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. On this Memorial Day, as we remember those who gave so much for the freedoms that we enjoy today, may we also be reminded that from the words of Daniel, the Most High God ruleth in the kingdoms of men. And may we humble ourselves before him in confession and repentance and beg him and plead with him to please continue to bless America. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for not only the joyful things that we receive in your word, but we thank you for the warnings that we receive in your word. And Lord, we understand that the fall of Babylon is a warning to us. And I pray, Lord, for our country to turn away from its wickedness and to turn back to you and to your word. And I pray, Lord, you do what needs to be done in order for that to happen. And I pray, Lord, that it would start with your people, that we would make sure that our hearts are right with you and that we're living the right way and that we are being bright, shining lights for you and that we are boldly proclaiming your gospel message, because nobody's life will change unless they hear the gospel. And our country has no hope but that gospel message. And so, Father, I pray our church would have a renewed burden to live for you and proclaim your message. And I pray for that for churches all across America. Lord, if churches across our country would make this fresh new commitment to really live openly and unashamedly for you and to boldly proclaim the gospel, Lord, we could see America change. And so let that revival begin in the house of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.